listening to Brother Ryan talking about love. You know, you think people is better to love or be loved. But, you know, it's great that other people love you, but it's great that you love other people regardless to how they treat you. You love them in a way. I have a little niece, she told me yesterday, said, happy birthday and I love you. I would come to see you, but you got to get rid of your dogs and your neighbors got to get rid of their dogs because I'm afraid of dogs. So she loved me, but not unconditionally.
Exactly right.
We're going to read this morning from Revelation chapter 22, verses 7 through 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful this day for this privilege and opportunity you've given us to come together to worship. Lord, we ask you to touch each and every heart, Father, removing all things that it shouldn't be. Lord, let us love one another with unconditional love, Lord, as Jesus Christ did. We had to pay him nothing, that he come and gave his life for us. Let us be so willing, Lord, to be toward one another. Anything that we can do to help another, let us do it, Lord. And not let us be worried about how they feel about us, but it's how we feel about them, God. And we love you, and we know you love us and guide us wherever we are. Lord, let our minds be upon you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 22, starting with verse 7. Behold, Revelation, found from Revelation 22, starting with verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped.
Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, that I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophecy of them that keep the saying of this book, worship God.
And he said unto me, see not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To do better man, the world against
his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right eyes to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city.
For without a dogs and scorners and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whatsoever loveth and maketh their lamb.
I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify.
And the Spirit and the bride said, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book.
He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly.
The grace of our God Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. What a profound scripture to read at this time. And, you know, I've never even considered the very last verse in what we call the Bible here to be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Grace, how can you define it? Us being here defines it. Grace is a person of Jesus Christ. It's the very love, his heart, and that's what he wants for us. Amen. Morty back there? Morty, would you like to come take the offering for us this morning? We're thankful for these young men coming up and serving in the church and holding a little testimony in their life. Go ahead and pray. Amen. Let's sing that chorus. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Key of F. And Brother Ebenezer, he has a special this morning, so we're going to sing this chorus a couple of times and let him come up for his special.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies has followed me. So glad you found me and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Oh, just sing it to him once more. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies have followed me. So glad you found me and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm
yours. Yes, sir. Après t'aimer, j'abandonne tout ce que j'appelle mien. Oh, ne permet à personne, Seigneur, d'en reprendre rien. Oui, prends tout, Seigneur. Oui, prends tout, Seigneur. Entre tes mains, j'abandonne tout avec bonheur. J'ai de te suivre sur le chemin de la croix. C'est pour toi que je vais vivre. Je connais, j'aime ta. Oui, prends tout, Seigneur. Oui, prends tout, Seigneur. Entre tes mains, j'abandonne tout avec bonheur. Tu me connais mieux moi-même, tous les besoins de mon cœur. Et pour mon bonheur, si prême tu peux me rendre vainqueur. Jesus, you are my father. I surrender. Jesus, you are my savior. I surrender. All to him, all to be my blessed savior. I surrender. One more time. Hallelujah. I surrender. I surrender. Oh,
such a key in surrendering is for him to pour in his preeminence in our lives. And you know, when someone surrenders, they wave that white flag, and white, that's where we're found in him and in his righteousness. That's how we surrender ourselves to his spirit. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing this chorus. Hallelujah. And we'll ask our brother to come out. I tell you, I just feel that there's just a special presence here this morning. And we're just so grateful for His presence. That's what makes a difference, is when He pours out His presence among us, then the Word comes forth and just starts to unveil itself. Amen. Let's just sing this.
Hallelujah.
Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. And we pray that everybody had a good week. Now we're going to have a good weekend, man. We're going to fulfill every ordinance today. Communion, foot washing, water baptism. And if the Lord wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, go ahead. Amen. If He wants to refill us with the Holy Ghost, go ahead. Amen. All right. We want the Lord to have His way. And as the brother was singing, I surrender all. Do you? Do we surrender it all? Think about that. Ryan's made all the announcements. Brother Bob is at Brother Shambo's today visiting. And now we're going to be baptizing four people. Not three, so four so far. And if you need assistance in the baptismal service, see one of the sisters, because I think they're all ladies at the moment. So after the second service, we will have water baptism out here at the pool. It's about 108 degrees out there, so it's really nice and clean, and got it all fixed up and ready to go. We sure appreciate the Lord and His mercy, because water baptism, to me, if you're alive and well and you're a Christian, it's essential. Amen. Paul even said to people that had the Holy Ghost that had not been baptized, he said, you need to be baptized. All right. So if you got your sane mind, and if you got your faculties working today, if you're not a Christian, let's start with water baptism and repentance. And water baptism. So God bless you. Next Sunday, remember, the after first service, we'll have lunch. And then at 1 o'clock, come back up here. All the men that are over 18 that are tithe payers and consider this your church, we will meet up here for a period of time. I was looking at this little inspirational quote of the day, and it says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. He gave you life. He gave you breath. He didn't have to. He gave you breath freely. Now, what you do for him is your gift back to him. So we appreciate the Lord giving us even an opportunity to be here, much less get up this morning. Amen. So let's remember all these ones that are sick. We have sickness in the sickness around. Brother Boyd got a headache back there, and we'll pray that thing will be gone by the end of the service. And remember Sister June, her hips been hurting her. As Brother Ryan says, the devil just hates us all. He's an equal. He just hates everybody. He hates all Christians anyway. Amen. So just remember that. Always also remember July 19th, 20th, and 21st. I know it's far ahead, but we're Lord willing, we're going to go back to Brother Andre's and have services up there. Brother Andre Head in Tennessee, just like we did last year. So, and then we'll have a youth service on Saturday, and Brother Joel Brown will be with us also. So just keep those things in prayer. So let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord just for a second. Dear Lord Jesus, today we come to you, Lord, just a needy people. We have many things in our life, Lord, that we need you to, for us to surrender to you, Lord. And may today, Lord, as the word goes forth, and Lord, as we take communion and the foot washing and the water baptism, Lord, may those things die. May those things be shed out of our heart, Lord, that we'll have more of you. And Father, I pray that you'd bless the ones that are not here today, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are traveling, and like Brother Bob and Brother John, different ones. Just be with them. Sister Barbara, Lord, she said she wasn't feeling very well out there in Colorado. We pray that you'd just reach out and touch her, Lord. Just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Lord, I pray that you'd help that internet service, whatever it is. I know it's the devil, but Lord, I pray that people want to listen. They want to watch in, Lord, because they can't get to church, and we sure appreciate that. And we pray, Lord, that you would open that channel back up, Lord, and each one can be able to watch, Lord. I pray that you'd be with Sister Johnny, Lord, that you'd touch her body, Lord, and just bless her, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now real quick, we're going to go to part three, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the salutation that God told them in the Smyrnian church age, which Smyrna means what? Bitter. And have we not been in a more bitter age? Everybody's bitter with everybody. Nobody's happy with nobody. Everybody wants their day. Everybody wants their time. It's all a me, Laodicea church age. But that was seeds of it, though, back there in Ephesus, Smyrna, all the way up. Because Brother Ram said we get all the curses and the blessings of each age. Revelations 1 verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You see how he kept that? Brother Colley read that way over in Revelations 20-something. He's still telling you he's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, which we know John did to the churches. And he turned to see the voice, and when he turned to see the voice, he saw, in other words, he saw the whole Gentile dispensation right there in front of him. All right, he saw the whole thing, and he saw somebody standing in the midst of that Gentile dispensation called the Lord Jesus, called the Son of Man. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You can be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. He saw Christ in what? Bride form. So the bride form is what we're looking at all through the ages. There was a bride in every church age. Everybody had a portion of word that they came to. Same way with us here. And he had in his right hand seven stars, Revelations 1, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. He had those things. Who did he have in his hand? He had those seven messengers. And we're talking about the last few weeks, how that is a specific message to a specific one person, not a group, not a council, but to one person. And that one person delivered that message, and sometimes that person wasn't around for the whole of the church age. They were taken out off the scene, and we'll look at some of that in just a few minutes about how God does that, and he allows that to happen because you get looking at the messenger too much and don't look at the message. You get to look at the messenger, and you don't see the message behind that. And this, listen, God's not a respecter of persons, but he does use people to speak to you. Now, what you respond and you do with it's your business. All right? But he is going to send seven men. He's going to send seven people. And as like I always said before, if we're looking for another prophet, God's got to send us one. If Brother Brown wasn't it, God's got to send us one because he said he'd send us seven. He sent us six for sure. I know he sent us seven, but some people are questioning that, and I believe that they're not going to find. All they're going to find is they're going to find, if they're not born again, they're going to find the Antichrist. They're going to find their Superman that's going to try to take them somewhere, but it's going to take them to hell, not take them to heaven. All right? This whole age is an age of deception. This whole age is, we've come to the apex or the very part of God that's supposed to be revealed. And we see gross darkness. We see darkness on every hand. We see everything going on that's just like what the president did the other day, you know, about having a day of transgender for transgender people. Well, I think you ought to have a day of Christians. They're going to make a day and proclaim something. Have a day for Christians to go to church and not have to go to work and get paid for it. Praise the Lord anyhow. Well, that's what they do. All right. Revelation 2 verse 8 says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's kind of strange. This whole scripture is really strange if you read it. Because remember, we start out alive and we die. Whoever this was started out dead, and now he's alive. All right? I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Now, it says I know, but it didn't say I'm going to do something about it. We'll read it in just a minute. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue. Not of the synagogue. They are literally Satan walking around on two feet, just as you and I are. Yes. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you and I are God walking around in two feet. Absolutely. We are the synagogue of God if you're born again today. Yes. He's not looking for another temple. He's not looking for another building. He's looking for you.
Yes.
Amen. A body. Thou hast prepared me. And are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. Hadn't come to that yet, have we? But they did. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. If you're born again today, there's no such thing as a second death. You die here. All right? We die here. All right? We're going to have a death, burial, and resurrection outside. There won't be a second death. And for those of you that don't know what a second death is, if you die in Christ, you fall asleep, you come up in a resurrection, you don't die no more. All right? Now, if you're a sinner, you die a natural death. You're in a dimension. All right, so that's one death. So you die. See, now we died. If we go by the grave, you die. When you resurrect, when a Christian resurrects, he'll never die again. Amen? Death has been destroyed. All right? But now a sinner, though, he dies physically. Then he goes to a dimension. All right? Then he comes out of that dimension on the day of judgment, and then he can die a second death if he's not given eternal life. All right, and so it says here that you're protected or you'll not be hurt of the second death if you hear what the Spirit says to that church and that overcometh. All right, remember, we're in a battle, not a picnic. Battleship, not a cruise ship. Okay, and the old ship of Zion, it looks bad, but it's going to get us into the shore. We know that. So there was an announcement in heaven. So God has all this plan. I was thinking about it the other day, you know, we can't fathom a man standing anywhere. Nothing going on, no air, no world. And his thoughts are the very expression of himself, can't change, and once he speaks them, they're eternal. Once he speaks them, they just continually keep going. You and I, we can have a thought. Y'all had one a few minutes ago. It's gone. Or either you're still thinking about it now. But it will leave. And you know what? Most of us that are over 60, I'm going to say 50, are going to forget what we just thought a few minutes ago anyway. All right? But God doesn't. Everything he thinks, it materializes. All right? And listen, and I believe that the word of God, if it's spoken, Brother Brown said, on lips of clay, but there is a spirit behind it, not a spirit of man, but it's the spirit of God behind it. Brother Brown said, that's as deity speaking. So as the word goes forth, if the word goes forth and it's number one, 100% true, that's God speaking. Okay, that's not man. That's God speaking. Because that's what he did with Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba. That's why I can depend on God sending us a prophet that caught the mind of God, not the mind of a denomination or the mind of a council or the mind of another preacher. Paul tells us, I've read it to you three times. He says, I didn't receive this of man. I didn't go to college. I'm sure he went to college. But remember, he said everything he counted from his conversion backwards was dung. He was pretty adamant about that. He could have said anything else. But he said it was just dung, something you just throw out. Don't touch it. Get rid of it. And that's what he did. Because what? He caught the mind of God. Well, each one of these messengers, even Irenaeus, caught the mind of God and brought a message. Brother Branham caught the mind of God and brought us a message. Amen. And then that mind of God is now what transferred into my and your soul. Soul. Not your spirit realm. Not your flesh. Your very being. The soul that God gave you. And then Paul yielded himself. Can you do the same thing? I know we talk about Paul, Irenaeus. People have problems with us calling, you know, people's names. Well, I mean, we're going to talk about it this afternoon. What's in a name? A name is your persona. A name is who you are. I can say father. Who of y'all in here are a father? Well, you know, 18 or 20 of you, hold your hands up. Right? But when I say Aaron Roberts, nobody holds their hands up except Aaron. All right? I can say father. You, father. I'm a son. I have a spirit. But who am I? What's in your name? That's why Jesus told us adamantly, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hiding it from the wise and prudent, knowing, listen, God knew they was going to take that false baptism. It didn't surprise him. He knew they would build it, and we'll look at it this afternoon, and we'll talk about water baptism this afternoon. We did it about a year ago, but we'll revisit it today because we're having baptismal service. But the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, why didn't the disciples just jump right in and start baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? Well, they did. Well, they did. We can't have a versus here. You know, like good versus bad. We can't have a versus. We can't have a Matthew 28:19 versus Act 2:38. They're saying the same thing. One is actually complimenting the other. It's a revelation that Peter got of what Jesus was saying. And Jesus wasn't up in heaven going, no, no, Peter, that's not what I said. He actually anointed what Peter said by giving them the Holy Ghost. 3,000 downstairs were baptized. And received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one day, one shot. Identifying that that name was very important. So as we call Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, the different ones. Listen, the world don't have a problem quoting Billy Graham. They don't have a problem saying, or Robert said, or as Ryan was saying, Spurgeon. Moody. Just put your whatever in there. Roberts, you know, or Roberts, a different one. You say those names, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we know that. But when you say William Branham, they go, oh, yeah, right. Put too much on that, man. You quote him way too much. No, I'll promise you one thing. If we're quoting what he said, and it's the truth, it's not William Branham we're quoting. It's God we're quoting. But he used a filter called a man, and a man's got to have a name. And the Bible says apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. There's names behind that. There's people's names all the way down from the time Paul wrote it till now. There's names associated with all that. Like I said, the Billy Graham movement, the Oral Roberts movement, the Dwight Moody movement. Brother Bram said Dwight Moody put millions in heaven. Don't mind quoting him. Don't mind quoting Spurgeon. But quote William Branham and be careful. No. If you're quoting him, you're quoting what God said. Same way with Moody and Cal. Any of those that quote the word of God and give you a revelation. Brother Brown's giving me a revelation. He didn't give me a new God. Him. He showed me the God is already there more clear. He gave us a way for the Spirit to move freely. Because it has not moved freely. We get into this third church ages when Satan starts clamping down on the word of God. The first age, the second age, not so much. They were free. They had the lion, L-I-O-N, the lion anointing. And they were bold, and they were going out into the world and preaching the gospel. Signs and wonders were following them. But when you get into the third church age, you get into the fourth church age, it's nothing but darkness. It's nothing but death. Yeah. That was the years of dark ages, right? Satan had come in and crept in, and he had clamped down. Listen, he didn't do away with churches. He just moved in them. Just like right here, the synagogue of Satan. Not in the synagogue, you are the synagogue of Satan. Listen, if you're not born again today, you are the synagogue of Satan. So there's an announcement in heaven. Out of the mind of God comes a logos. A sealed up message is open. We've been through this before, so we'll go through it real quick. Try to get done here in about 15 minutes. So a trumpet sounds. There's a message proclaimed. Listen, we've lived through this, so we ought to be able to say amen to all this because we're living through that. Amen. We're living through a message that we got 1,100 sermons. We've got video. We've got audio. We've got the written word. And signs and wonders following him in William Branham's ministry. And we know that it was the voice of God in our day. But it was really hard for them to see that because there wasn't everything written down. There wasn't audio. They didn't have an internet that failed most of the time. And it's not anybody's fault, but the internet serves. But the devil, he goes out there and plays in that box right out that door right there. We're going to put a prayer cloth. Put a prayer cloth out there in that box. We're going to put a prayer cloth out there. Remind myself. Note to self. Put a prayer cloth in that box that goes into there. It may not be, it may be, they always say it's out there, never it's us, so. But we're going to send that prayer cloth backwards. Amen? We're going to send it up the pole. We're not going to climb up there, all right, but we'll send it back. We'll do that after service is over. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. So there's a trumpet sound. You have heard, you are under the last messenger's trumpet sounding, and he's continuing to sound. Yes. And it's a distinct message and a declared message. And the reason they hate Brother Branham is because he's not normal. Amen. Are you and I normal? Paul says in the way that's called heresy, do I serve God? Amen. Crazy. The world looks at us and says, you don't do what? You do what? Don't they do that when you tell somebody something and it's kind of, you know, not of the norm and they go, y'all really do that? Yeah, we really do that. Like mama's doctor, she goes to, she said, oh, y'all believe all the Bible. You know what? Every Christian ought to believe all the Bible. As old black man said, from kibber to kibber. Even the kibber is holy, says Holy Bible. But look, there's a spiritual war, and that's what we're fighting right now. It's a spiritual war. That warfare is going on inside of us, pulling us one way or the other. True word of God versus false doctrine. All right? Now, remember, one thing's for sure. God has never had in his mind false doctrine. Inside of God, inside of his eternity, there is nothing false. So no Trinitarian doctrine, no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism ever come out of the mind of God. It was the devil that interjected because he is the synagogue of Satan himself. And he entered in and got people to go, well, he might. Well, surely Jesus wasn't God, pure God, because he cried. We saw him eat. We saw him, you know, we saw him fall one day, stepped over a root and fell. I can't be God. Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, it was God hiding in simplicity, hiding right up under their nose. The Messiah that they were looking for and still looking for showed up 2,000 years ago. All right, so there's a spiritual war starts, true versus false. So then what happens is the messenger is laid away or taken off the earth. Why is he taken off the earth? So you quit looking at the messenger. And remember, that messenger is a messenger from God. He lives such a holy life. Sometimes you might not be able to tell the difference. Paul said, don't baptize in my name. Brother Ram said, don't baptize in my name. Right? So you got to separate it. So God lays away the messenger, takes that message and pours it into a group of people. Amen. To fulfill the Bible. Absolutely. All the Bible. Yes. Not that listen, we can say God sent a prophet and then we can go home. We'll come back next Sunday and about 500 more Sundays and we'll just say God sent a prophet and go back home. But God sent a message to progress past that. God sent a prophet. That he sent a message behind that prophet, with that prophet, to a group of people by the Holy Ghost. By the Word of God. Nothing else. So that messenger's laid away or taken off the earth. Look, people either accept it or reject it. And what happened, same way with Brother Branham, we can see all these types perfectly. Same way with Paul, they accepted or rejected it. And it brings a judgment or a plague, spiritual death, to the ones who reject their messenger. Till the next age comes back the same way. But now remember, you and I are not that way. We don't have a going up and then falling off, and then there's another. Listen, we're fixing to have an eclipse here pretty quick, right? Full blackout. Praise the Lord. Because you and I are the only bride that's left. And they can hide it all they want to, but behind it, that moon's still shining. That moon's still there. That moon didn't go away. It's lost a little bit of its light. Have we lost a little bit of our love? You know, like the first church age, have we lost our first love? Have we lost that light that gave us fervor to get up and come to church? That gave us fervor, as Brother Ryan was saying this morning, to read a little more. Amen. Study a little more. That's our challenge. Yes. To study a little more, just read a little more. Get rid of some of the stuff that we pick up our time with. That was wonderful, Brother Ryan. I appreciate that. First love. Age of Pentecost was the first age that come up, AD 30. The messenger was the Holy Ghost. We'll continue through real quick. The Alpha Age was the Ephesian church age. Remember, Paul was the messenger. He founded it in 53, died in 64 to 67, so he wasn't around for half of his church age either. But thank God somebody picked that thing up and carried it on. Amen. To the next church age. Yes, so the next church age is, we look and see, we'll look at the picture in a minute, but remember we were talking about the porter. You got to enter in by the door, and you don't know what's behind that door except there'd be a porter there. Or someone to concierge or somebody to take you behind that door and tell you where all the rooms are. And that's what Brother Branham did. He didn't create a motel, the Word of God. He didn't create the Word of God. He just showed you where everything was at. He showed you all the doors that, now all the doors are open. None of them are locked up. Man didn't go in there and lock them up. No, God opened them all up, the Great Shepherd. That's the one we follow, the Great Shepherd. That great shepherd, he says, look, you'll hear his voice in a stranger. You'll not follow. Why? How in the world could you listen to this message and listen to the prophet of God pour his heart out and listen to preachers that have preached for 25 and 30 years and then leave and never listen to that voice again? Now, see, to me and you, you look, everybody's going, because you're not that way. You love the voice of God. You love the voice of God in the end time. You love what this message does for us. and to turn that thing away, you never really got the message inside of you. You might have got the messenger, but you didn't get the message. And listen, Brother Brown didn't save a soul. Jesus Christ is the only one in the saving business. Now, somebody can take you to him, but he's the one that saves. And a stranger, you'll not fall. And then we look at the church ages. We see them real quick. We got a Pentecostal age. You got Paul coming at the end of Pentecost, bringing his message. And then God sent an Irenaeus in the overlap to what? Pick up what Paul had and add to it. All right, come on. God's always moving. All right, God's always moving. He moved right into Irenaeus, and then when he moved into Irenaeus, there was a great man in the lap over. And now remember, in that lap over, where Brother Brown says, we'll go through it real quick, every evil that was in the first church age lapped over in the next age. So this is kind of like a chain linked together. All right, because remember, and what does Brother Brown always say, that the chain is only strong as its what? Weakest link. All right. Well, there were some weak links got in to the church and broke fellowship, broke doctrine, broke the word of God apart. And now what did Brother Brown say the last messenger would do? He would tie up the loose ends. In other words, put that chain back together by the word of God. And thank God, because we accepted it. We're recipients of that. We're the recipients of this whole thing. Just keep going on down until it finally ends in complete apostasy in the last day. If it was the synagogue of Satan in the second age, you can very well say that that's the same thing happening in this age. All right? So the lap over is a grace to the people. The messenger was Paul. So let's get on to, because we know Paul, like I said before, Paul said, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can we say that with Brother Branham? You have to say that with every messenger, because Paul was the pattern. If Paul was the pattern, then that's it. All right? Then he told him he wouldn't see him no more. Now let's get to the Smyrna age. Let's get to the meaning of Smyrna is bitter. It comes from the word myrrh, Smyrna. All right? Which is used in embalming the dead. Remember, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, showing deity dedicated to death. All right? So the Smyrna church age. Now watch Brother Branham. He says, thus we have a twofold significance found in the name of this age. It was a bitter age filled with death. The two vines within the framework of the church were drifting further apart with an increased bitterness toward the true vine in the part of the false. And see, that's what I see in the end time now is bitterness. People are bitter. People are bitter. You go talk to people. They're bitter. And we get bitter sometimes. Amen. We get bitter when gas is $2.99 or whatever it is, $3.49. Bread's $4 a loaf where it used to be $2. Eggs is $1, used to be $1.49. Now we get bitter because we blame it on somebody else. It's like Brother Ryan was talking this morning. That root of bitterness will get in if you let it, and it'll tear you apart. So the two vines within the framework of the church were drifting further apart with an increased bitterness toward the true vine on part of the false. Death was not only the seed of the false vine, but even in the true vine, there was a creeping paralysis and impotence because they had already drifted from the unadulterated truth of the first few years after Pentecost. Now watch this. And no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God. That takes all the emotion out. That takes all the other stuff out. You take all that back and just throw it away. It's spiritual health is what we're looking at. All right. The inward man. Spiritual health and adherence to the pure word of God. As seen by multitudes and examples in the Old Testament. Organizations. Everybody wanted to organize. Look what happened to Israel. When they went into captivity, they had a priesthood, a temple, and the word of God. When they came back, they had rabbis, theological order of Pharisees. He's talking about all the way down to Jesus. And when Jesus came, they were so far off, he called them of their father the devil. They were so far off. That's what happened in every church age. We got the true, absolutely, but there's a false that stuck with it, though. Satan don't want to be out there. He wants to be right here. So the age started about 170 A.D. to A.D. 312. The messenger was Irenaeus. He was born at 130 A.D. and died in 202. So he died right in the middle of his church age, pretty much at the front of it. And there were several hundred years that somebody had to take the message and move it forward. All right? He was a disciple of Polycarp. And we know, I read you what happened to Polycarp. He was really, truly a saint. He was called of God to do what he's supposed to do, but he had one little thing against him. He leaned toward organized religion. And God hated that. He hates Nicolaitism. Yes, God hates. Yeah, God hates. Sorry about that, but he does. You know God repented one time for making man? God repented for man. He said that in the Bible. He repented for making man. And knowing what man would do when he put us in flesh. But he still was like, man, how can y'all get off that bad? Yet for all this great testimony, the student of John the Revelator was not militant against the Nicolaitan system. He's talking about Polycarp. For he himself leaned toward organization, not realizing. Now, if he wasn't realizing, then what happened? The devil gave him a false doctrine. God didn't. For he himself leaned toward organization, not realizing that the desire of fellowship and what appeared was a good plan to foster the work of God was really a trick of the enemy.
Yes.
Amen. Deception is not horrible if you stay in it. I mean, if you get out of it. Deception is horrible if you stay in it. All right, let me get that right. Deception, it's not bad to be deceived. Listen, all of us were deceived.
Yes, sir.
And we may still be a little deceived anyway. But don't stay in deception. Ask God to give you the true word of God. Like revelation. We thrive on revelation. So now we know it was Irenaeus. I want to show you what he did here. This is some of his quotes. I read them yesterday, the other day, Wednesday night. But I'll read them again. The glory of God is man fully alive. You ought to read about Irenaeus. You can tell how God used this man. Jesus, the incarnate word, is a meeting place between God and humanity. He wrote the book against heresies, which is Gnosticism, had G-N-O-S-T, you can look it up online. Gnosticism is many gods, or a god with this over here, or the basis of a Trinitarian doctrine. Amen. Of a many gods. All right. Well, he was against that, so he wrote a book about it. He was the disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John the Revelator. And as I was telling you before, they were talking about the four Gospels and the book of Maccabees and all the different other books that were written during the time of Jesus and the time of Irenaeus. And he just sat down one day and he said, no. He said, the four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's it.
Yes. Right.
So they accepted that. And thank God, because that the people that I've got it wrote down here, God picked Irenaeus, but he picked a people to respond to the characteristic of Irenaeus.
Right.
He picked this group of people. He picked a group of people to catch the revelation of the end time. That God sent us a prophet. Every age is the same way. The central point of Irenaeus' theology is the unity and goodness of God in opposition to the Gnostic theory of God, which is a number of divine emanations. He was a student of Polycarp. We know that. And he used the word logos. John had used logos terminology in the Gospel of John, in 1 John. We see that a lot of times we think, well, Brother Branham came up with the word logos. No, the theologians knew about the word logos long, long time ago. All right? So let's read this real quick, and then we'll close. We'll get ready for communion. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first, the last, which was dead and now alive. Dead, then alive. Adam was alive, then he died. Whoever this is took death and turned it into life, which is Jesus Christ. So who's speaking to us? The Lord Jesus himself. I know thou works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And that's the way it is now. You know, you got the Bezos and different guys that are, you know, $100-something billion, couldn't spend it all. You could buy half. You could buy probably half of the known countries in the world. One person could buy it. But without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he don't even have a dollar. He don't have a dollar. He don't have a chance to get in heaven. He can't buy his way in. But thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Let's listen to what Brother Branham said here. The mere association of kind-hearted people with a true believer might well bring death in return for their kindness. And the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is, the chief shepherd of the flock. But does he hold back the persecution? Does he stem the tribulation? No, he does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I am not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block this is to so many people. You know, prosperity doctrine and all those things, you know, everything's going to be peachy king and hunky-dory. And listen, you and I know for a fact, if you are an adult human being today, look at me. If you're an adult human being today, without God, what would you do? Without law, what would you do? Without something to govern you, what would you do? See there? That's why God gave us overcoming power. That's why God gives us tribulation. Because it keeps us in line. It keeps us looking at a higher power. It keeps us looking at beyond what life is. Amen? But just think about that. It would be, and it's going to be a lawless place. Could you imagine when the Holy Ghost comes off of this earth? For the battle of Armageddon, there won't be any Holy Ghost left. All the 144,000 will be gone, the two witnesses, and we'd have been in glory 3.5 years. Nothing. No Holy Ghost. Nothing to put any kind of morality up here, and that's what you bump up against. All hell's going to break loose. That's why it's going to be an Armageddon. That's why it's going to be a button-punching time. Listen, without the Holy Ghost today, they'd kill each other. Don't you think the Soviet Union, as huge as it is, would have destroyed Ukraine by now? Don't you think all them other countries all get together and fight Israel one time? Israel may not have a chance. So what's holding it back is me and you. The Gentile church age is not over yet. So none of that can happen. There is a Holy Ghost on the earth. There is, as the Bible says, they hold the four winds, or they hold the wars away from us. Right now, there's angels.
Yes.
We believe in angels, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Like Israel, they wondered if God really loved them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? This is what they ask in Malachi 1:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. Everybody thinks God's love is just, oh, it's just, listen, God's love is what's going to put us in a place. It's going to put us in a place where there's perfect love.
Absolutely.
It's going to put us in a place that there's not a day goes by that you don't worship God and feel good and, boy, that ought to make dead people shout. What a day. But you can't figure out God's love. Listen, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're getting there. Because the love of God's corrective. They thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was elective love. The proof of his love is election. that no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact they were chosen unto salvation. You ought to thank God for that. Because God had chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Listen, there wouldn't be nothing to believe in if God hadn't sent somebody. Nothing. What would you believe? What if you just took the name of Jesus right out of your mind? Or God right out of your mind? No Bible? Whew. Wow. He may commit you to death, as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering, as he did Job. That's his prerogative. He is sovereign. Now, do we say, God, we understand that and we know that we'll go through these fiery trials? Or do we do like the world and we raise our fist and say, God, why'd you do this to me? Who of us needs to question God? Now, I question myself a lot. But I don't question God. When he's in it, he's going to be perfect. If he did not have a purpose, look, watch this. This is his prerogative. He is sovereign. But it's all with a purpose. In other words, what? To get us in line, to get us out of here. If he didn't have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. That's the Bible. That is a quote from the Bible. This is where we get the quote that we always quote. Brother Branham's going through this analogy about God and suffering. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Suffering. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. You have to suffer and stand and say, "I'm being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." You have to suffer to say, "I believe that God sent a prophet." You have to suffer to say, "Hey, I don't wear pants, sisters. I don't cut my hair." You make a stand. You have to suffer for that. Because listen, you're not going to be put in their society. You're going to be kicked out. Old maid, old fogey. I want somebody, you know, they say that that's in the Old Testament. That's okay. So is the Ten Commandments. But even when I was going to school, we saw some old school pictures. And I graduated in 78. So in high, but in grammar school, it was, yeah, Donnie. It was in the 60s that we had teachers. I didn't see them with pants on in a picture. Even the little girls didn't have pants on. A few of them might have. But you go back to Dad's era and show even the girls playing basketball had dresses on. So where are we coming? We evolved. They said, "Oh, that's okay. It's diluted down now. We don't need to do that." Listen, God loves us as we are. That's right. But he hates who you are and what we become. So let's read this and then we'll take communion. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Spoiled brats we would be without a little bit of suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. Yes, sir. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcome. Amen. Listen, if he had to overcome, you got to overcome. That he overcame and sat down his father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That's what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. You ready for this? Not one but goes through it. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried isn't of God. Let's stand. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. How about that? It isn't of God. This special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There's no age free from it. There's no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind, not bitter. Let's get ready for communion. Whoever's doing it, come on, Will. We'll read our communion service. And if you have a need, we have seen people healed taking communion. So let's just claim that today, that when you take that bread, when you take that cup, and you do what the Lord said, then ask him to heal your body. Ask him to heal your family. Ask him to heal your soul. Ask him if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ask him. Say, look, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want this no more. I'm done. I'm finished. But remember, when you say that, didn't Brother Brown say when you got born again, Satan would turn every gun he had on you? And he knows your weak spot, and so do you. Amen. I'm going to preach that one day, your weak spot. You know it. I don't know your weak spot. You may reveal it, but I don't know it. You know what your weak spot is. Guess what? Satan does too. And you better cover it with extra layers of bulletproof material called the Bible, praying and reading the message of the hour, and listening to the word of the Lord. Let's go to communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." Now he's fixing to suffer. He suffered a lot already, but he's fixing to suffer a most horrible death that you could ever suffer, just so you don't have to. "Which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." We're going to stop. We're going to pray for a few minutes. Silent prayer. Like I said, you know your needs, I don't. I know my needs, you don't. But let a man examine himself, check up, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body, which is the bride of Christ. Amen. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But we are judged. We are chastened," there we go, "chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Listen, our chastening is not what the world's going to get. Amen. Oh, my word. Look at, yeah, praise the Lord. Look at what they're going to get. Total annihilation. Yes. Their skin is going to fall off their body while they're still alive. Amen. Birds are going to pick. Well, I can make it worse, but you read your Bible. Amen. I'll take this a little bit. Yes, I'll take this little bit of suffering. Amen. To gain a greater glory. Not condemned with the world. "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order." Paul was going to set some other things in order when he came back. So this do in remembrance of me. The Bible said he took bread. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this bread, Lord, that's been made with holy hands, that you would, Lord, sanctify it, Lord, and just bless it and be with us, Lord. May we remember your body that was broken for us, Lord. We do this, Lord, in remembrance of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we do, let's have a moment of silent prayer, just for a few moments. Get everything clear. Help us each one, Lord. Amen. You know, really, as Christians, we have a lot of symbols that we, I guess you say, go by. Communion, foot washing, what we're going to do today, water baptism. But the world, they even do that different. What do you mean you make your own bread? We buy from probably Amazon now. Put it up and freeze it and keep it over. That sounds like a good Pentecostal revelation. Yeah, we'll hold it over till the next day. But this right here is going to be burnt to a crisp and where it will not be edible, because new manna fell every day. Amen. New manna. And whatever was left over, remember they tried to collect a little extra? It turned into what? Wiggle worms in it. It was rotten already in the night. It had rotted. But not this. And the wine, it gets better with age. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this wine, Lord, as we partake. Lord, may we remember you, Lord, that you shed your blood for us at Calvary, Lord. And now that blood, even now, is a bumper across the earth that protects us, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, if nobody knows the sanctifying word of the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ in the end time, Lord, may they know it today. May they repent, Lord, and be baptized as we're going to the water in a few hours, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd bless this wine and the partakers in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. The evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised. See there? Chastised. And I question. In other words, Father, how long have I got to put up with this? You know what? Till we get perfected, we're going to put up with it. Because we're Christians. We're not bastards. We're sons and daughters of God. And I know naturally we hated our correction from our parents. But don't you look back though now? Don't you look back now and go, they should have beat me more than they did. So be careful. Throw that hand up there. I mean, we all know that. Same way with God when he gives us a little get in line thing. You ought to praise God for it. He don't do that to them out there. Because they're not his children. Come the right way. Be the right way. Read the right word. Do the things of God. Say, Daddy, whatever you got for me. And listen, when you was a kid, this may be, we deserved every whipping we got. Right? So then you've done something to get that whipping. Right? Same way with God. Now, if you don't do anything, I mean, you know, there. Like I said, I was trying to stop because there's circumstances of parents beating their kids. I don't believe in that one bit. Not one bit. But if they break the rule, they do the crime, they're going to do the time. Same way God is with us. If we'll stay in line, he's not going to beat us for staying in line. He just beats us when we get out of line. And remember, it's the tender hand of Jehovah. He's got nail scars in that hand. He hits you with those nail-scarred hands just to push you back in the way. Just like the chief shepherd. He had to break one of them's leg to bring it back. If you ever looked at a sheep, I saw one the other day. Brother Richard Wilson preached a sermon a long time ago. Where Brother Brown says, I think it's either in his life story or somewhere, where Brother Brown said, Lord, you sheared me one time, shear me again. Well, you look at that word shear. See, a lamb produces wool, right? Well, they showed a lamb that had not been sheared in like 5 years. The wool was like 100 pounds. The lamb was sick. Am I getting somewhere with this? The lamb was sick. And the wool was worthless because it had come to a place of hardness to where it was no good at all because somebody left him alone for 5 years and didn't shear him. Well, Lord, shear me. Shear us all to keep that excess away. God will be able to use you if he shears you. He won't be able to use you if he don't shear you. So let's partake of communion. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Let's read our foot washing scripture and then sisters be dismissed for downstairs. Remember, we'll regular service at 2 o'clock. Then we'll have our baptismal service right after the second service. And I'll be speaking on water baptism and the name. What's in the name? So foot washing scriptures comes from John 13, verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he was come from God and went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter should have listened to him. But Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not wash, not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken the garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? He's asking them a question. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. Then if I, your Master, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, what? Happy are ye if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we've come to a place that the Word and now the communion, and Lord, we'll take a moment of foot washing and Lord, and then eating a natural meal and come back, Lord, and talk about you for a minute, and then we'll go have a water baptism, Lord. Thank you so much for allowing us to be able to do this. We appreciate the people, Lord, that are here, that are responding to the Word of God, that are wanting to be baptized, Lord, and rebaptized. Lord, I pray that you'd fill them with the Holy Ghost just right now. As soon as we get them out of the water, Lord, may you just saturate them with the Holy Ghost. Father, just bless us now as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Sisters, go downstairs.